Thank you. Hey, can you do me a favor as we get started on this first Sunday of 2023? Can we honor your senior pastor, Pastor Dudley? We love you so much. Come on, we can make a better noise than that. We honor you. We thank you. Man, do you know how blessed you are to be a part of this church, to have pastors who love you as much as your pastors love you? I know I'm blessed growing up here, and I'm so honored and excited to get to be with you this morning. We want to welcome you if you're joining us online or live in our overflow. But as we get started in 2023, I want to ask you this question that I've been asking myself. As you begin and we've officially entered this new year, what are you looking for? It's the beginning of a new year. It's like the beginning of change, the beginning of new opportunities, the beginning of new possibilities for growth. What are you looking for? Because there's something about the way that we're wired. When there's the mark of something new, we're looking for something. Maybe you're looking to better yourself. Maybe you're looking to get rid of bad habits. Maybe you're looking to create a legacy. Maybe, I don't know what it is in your heart, but I wanna ask you this morning, what is your heart looking for? What are you anticipating in 2023? What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you're hoping to shift? What are you looking for? And I started asking myself this question, believe it or not, over the past week and a half, 2 weeks or so, I started to survey people in my life, people from this church, people from my church, people from the gym I go to. I started to ask this question at the beginning of a new year, what's the question that your heart is asking? And between 20, 30 people, it all kind of narrowed down to the same theme. It actually kind of blew my mind. I thought we'd get about 25 different answers. Oh, I want this, I want this, I want a new car. They all narrowed down to the exact same category, and it's what I want to talk about this morning. It's the idea of direction. We're entering into a new season. We're entering into a new year. We're entering into what our world says is new opportunities, new growth, new obstacles. And we live in a lost and a broken world, and so wouldn't it make sense that we'd be seeking direction? Where do I go? Who do I become? What do I do? What change needs to take place? For some of us, we're entering out of one of the most darkest, hellish years we've had in our life, and we need direction on how to make a difference this year. Some of us, we're walking out of some of the greatest seasons we've ever experienced. We need direction on how to steward it. We're entering into this newness, new year, but we need somebody and something to guide us on where we're going and who we are. What are you looking for? It makes me think, when I think about this idea of direction, I remember when I was 18 years old, I moved to Joplin, Missouri, like Pastor Dudley said in that video. I started going to Ozark Christian College. And about 3 months into school, I started preaching at this small, tiny church with like the white little steeple. It had, I think, 8 people in attendance. It's called Leanna Christian Church. I preached there every Sunday for 3 years. I drove 2 hours from my campus to Leanna, Kansas. It was tiny. There was probably like 60 people, 50 people in the entire town, farm country, right? For 2 hours, I probably could have fallen asleep at the wheel and still would have shown up. It was just flat nothingness, right? And as far as I'm concerned, California kid growing up here, as far as I'm concerned, last night is about as the worst weather it gets. It's raining, it's dark. I couldn't see, my eyes aren't the best, right? But I'm in Kansas, 3 months into moving to this new state. I'm driving to school, I'm driving to this church to preach in my 1999 Ford F-150. It shakes even if there is no weather. And I'm just booking it. I've got it set on cruise control. We're going, I was listening to K-Love. It was a great morning. And all of a sudden, you know those emergency weather services that happen on our TV or our cars, the it starts screaming at me, and I start hearing these words. I didn't even know that this was real. It was like, tornado watch. And I remember sitting in my car minute by minute as the world around me at 11 a.m. went from bright to pitch black, to there being so much wind that I was turning my car right just to stay straight. I literally couldn't see more than 3 inches in front of me with the high beams on in my car, just hoping that I could see the one yellow line that would reassure me that I'm not driving through a farm somewhere. And I remember being overwhelmed. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing, but all that I knew was that I was in trouble and I needed help. The radio stopped working. I had no cell reception. I'm desperate. I'm trying to get a hold of somebody who's from the area. Hey, do I keep driving? Do I pull over? How do I know what's going on? How do I know what to do? This is completely new to me and I'm overwhelmed and I'm terrified. And I think that that's where a lot of us find ourselves as we enter into new years, is we find ourselves saying, I'm overwhelmed. The world is so dark. I'm just hoping that I can find that one yellow line that lets me know that I'm going in the right direction, that I'm becoming who I'm supposed to be. And we're just desperate in the middle of a storm for somebody to direct us that we're gonna make it, that we're not gonna crash, that the tornado is not gonna throw us away somewhere and we're not gonna know how to make it out. And finally, somebody picks up the phone who knew something more than I do. And the only way that I made it was because somebody who knew what they were, who had already gone through it, I had experienced, gave me direction on where to go, what to do, and how to remain in the lane. And so I wanna talk this morning about this idea of direction, because sometimes I make excuses in my life. I don't know if you make excuses in your life. I think it would have been so much easier to follow Jesus if I could have just been a disciple. If I could have walked with Jesus on the day-to-day of my life, if I could have experienced his body in front of me, if I could have just followed him wherever he walked, that's so much easier than having to rely on faith to show me where I'm going. And then we see in John chapter 14, that's where we're gonna be this morning if you wanna open in your Bible. John chapter 14, one of Jesus's 12 disciples, the closest guys in his life, has a moment where he needs direction. He needs his Lord to show him the road, where he's going. John chapter 14, Jesus says this, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I not have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me wherever I am. And you know the way to where I am going." Jesus is saying, hey, I've prepared you. I'm gonna leave and prepare a place for you. And you can know, what does he say? He says, and you know the way that I'm going. Jesus is reassuring here. He's saying, hey, this is the plan. Jesus wouldn't say, you know where I'm going if he hadn't prepared them for what was about to take place. Do you know that there is a God who wants to prepare you for what he's called you for in your life? He's not gonna call you to something he won't equip you to accomplish. But then this is the response of the disciple. Thomas shows up and he says, no, we don't know. And that's where I find myself in life. Jesus has said, I'm going to prepare a place. You know where we're going. And sometimes in the middle of the storm, it's dark outside, the wind is blowing, and we lose focus of what's happening in our life. And our response is, no, Lord, I don't know. I don't know where you're going. Thomas said, he said, we have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Thomas is desperate for the direction of the one who knows more. Thomas is desperate for guidance from the one who's been leading. And I think that this is where we find ourselves in life, is that we don't know where to go, we don't know what to do. It's a new year and we're hoping for change. But can we be grateful and encouraged this morning that we serve a God who doesn't leave us in our uncertainty, but he meets us with who he is? God could have looked at Thomas and just been like, just see what happens. But Jesus looks at Thomas and says, Jesus told him, Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's like Jesus shows up and he goes, oh, you're uncertain about where to go. You're uncertain about what's gonna come. You're uncertain about what's gonna happen and you're desperate for direction. Well, let me tell you some good news. I am the way when there was no way for the world. I will become truth for a lost and broken world that doesn't know what to cling to or what to believe. And I will offer a life that is unavailable through any other means. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus is not interested in directing your life with information. He's interested in transforming your life with the identity of who he is. Jesus didn't just throw information at Thomas. He reassured him of who he was following. He said, Thomas, I am the way. If you don't know where to go, I'm the way. Thomas, I am the life. Jesus is showing us in John chapter 14 an identity statement. This is who I am. Can I tell you, if you're seeking direction in your life, there is a God who wants to introduce who he is so that you can follow a person rather than a blog. Jesus is real and available, and he is the person of truth. And he says, if you don't know where to go, let me introduce myself. John chapter 10, we jump back four chapters. Jesus just shows us, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Three I am statements. Then you go back to John chapter 10, because I don't know about any of you in the room, but I can be really stubborn. Sometimes someone just saying, hey, he's Jesus. You can trust him. I'm like, yeah, but I need a little bit more. I'm in the middle of the storm. A little identity statement's only gonna get me so far. So Jesus, how can I find direction outside of the identity of who you are? And Jesus meets our need. John chapter 10, he says this, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they know him because they know his voice. And they know him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. You're seeking direction. We want to know where is the road? How do I make it this year? Jesus tells us who he is, but he doesn't stop there. He says, I am truth, but my voice is truth. I wanna build this picture for you. What's happening here in biblical times is there would be multiple shepherds in the field. They had their sheep. Their job was to protect the sheep, to guide the sheep, to make sure the sheep didn't escape, didn't run away. And at the end of the night, there would be picture like a big circle of bricks, 5 to 8 feet tall. And all of these shepherds, 2, 3, 4, 5 shepherds, they would come together and they would store their sheep inside essentially a giant pen. So there would be multiple shepherds' sheep all stored inside of the same pen to keep them safe from the enemy and the wolf and the thieves. And this is my favorite part. I think we miss this sometimes. In the morning, there's multiple shepherds' sheep in there, but they know the voice of their shepherd. That when he says, hey, it's time to go, his sheep would leave the pen and follow, and the others would remain until their shepherd called them. My question for us this morning is, do we know with confidence the voice of our shepherd so that when he calls, we recognize direction that is available for our life? It says, when they call by name, he follows. Can I encourage you this morning that there is a shepherd who knows your name, who sees what you're walking through, and he's calling you. He's offering you direction. He says, I am truth. My words are truth that guide you. And then John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus leaves us with this. He says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. We just saw that Jesus' words are truth. So he says, if you remain faithful to the truth that I have taught you, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I think there's a lot of us that throughout the years we've been chained up to the mistakes. We've been chained up to the lies. We've been in bondage by the things of this world that we've believed, that we've done, and that we've listened to. And Jesus shows up and he says, I will introduce you to who I am. I am truth. I will offer you my words to guide you. They are truth. And guess what? My truth is the only thing that is powerful enough that can set captives free in the world. He is truth. His words are truth. And truth has the power to not just direct your life, but to transform your eternity. And so this is the big idea I want you to understand this morning, that direction is revealed by truth. The person of Jesus reveals direction, the words of Jesus reveals direction, and the power of Jesus reveals direction in your life. And I think the most important word of this phrase is this idea of revelation, of revealing, because sometimes I think that I have to create opportunities or that I'm going to create direction for myself. The reality is Jesus already created all the direction you will ever need. The question is, will we reveal it and walk in it? I remember having one of these as a kid. It's a children's art book. There was a creator who created art. There's nothing I'm gonna do to this that is going to create an artistic picture on this piece of paper. But the Creator gave me a resource to reveal what was already made available. When I apply this water to what the Creator made, the creation is revealed. I don't create the design. There's nothing I could ever do to create it or to change it. All that I do is I take what was given to me by the Creator. I apply it to the creation that He made. And it's revealed. Can I tell you that there is nothing you are going to do in your life that will create direction? But when you apply the truth that Jesus has given to the steps that you walk, direction will be revealed. God has already directed your life. God has already offered the steps that you need to take. But the reality is, sometimes we sit here and we think, well, I'm gonna try this and I'm gonna apply this. I'm gonna listen to this influencer. I'm gonna subscribe to this podcast. These are good things. But if my sole source of direction is other mankind, I will never reveal the direction that can only come from the person of Jesus, the scripture of Jesus, and the power of Jesus. So how can we seek this truth? How can I experience this truth? If I want my 2023 to be have direction revealed like no other year before, how can I pursue this truth so that I can see the fruit take place? Because I believe Jesus, He wouldn't have created and guided our life with a direction if He didn't want us to walk along Him in the journey. So I have five truths I want to give you this morning as we dive into this on how we experience this truth that reveals direction. Number one, there's no other place to start than spending time with Jesus. If He is the truth, if His words are truth, and His truth has the power to set free, why would I run anywhere other than the presence of the one who can deliver? What does it say? Even Jesus was fully God, fully man. In His own ministry, when the entire world was relying on Him, people were running to Him for miracles. Sick people were desperate for His attention. People were wanting to be taught. Religious leaders were trying to kick Him out of town. Jesus, it says this in Mark 1:35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Jesus understood that there was gonna be a lot of people that were gonna demand His attention. There was gonna be a lot of voices that were gonna begin to shout. There was gonna be a lot of conflict that was gonna take up time. There were gonna be needs that needed to be met and people who needed to be led. But He understood that the direction for all of it began in the presence of God. So what did He do? It says he created an isolated space to pray. Before daybreak, before the sun got up, before the disciples got up, before the chaos of the world began, he intentionally made space to say, my God, my Father, I wanna be guided by You. I don't wanna be guided by the voices in the world. I don't wanna be guided by the people who need me. I don't wanna be guided by anything other than the truth that sets free. And it blows my mind because I think so often in my own life and maybe in yours, we actually end up giving Jesus our leftovers instead of creating space for Him to speak. Instead of creating opportunities to be given direction, we say, God, why have I not received the next step? But if we did a survey of our time, we give Him 2.5 minutes a week. And I realize this, Pastor Dudley just said it in the video. I just celebrated my 1-year wedding anniversary. Thank you. And what I learned this year is that I have to create space and opportunity to hear my wife. I need to create space, opportunity, and time to hear her heart, to learn the challenges of her life, to understand how she feels loved. If I don't create the date, if I don't set space and time to just be with her, guess what's gonna happen? Eventually it's gonna be a couple months down the road and I'm gonna feel like I don't know her anymore. I'm gonna feel like we're so far apart even though we're living in the same room. Yet there's a lot of us. We'll make a date for people, but we won't make a date with Jesus. And we wonder why we feel miles apart, and He's looking at us and He's saying, I didn't go anywhere, but you're not spending time with Me. We need to start spending time with Jesus in order to receive the direction because it comes from him and it starts with him. I don't want to run anywhere other than him. Psalm 119, 105 says this, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Jesus might not show me the destination of where I'm going, but he'll light the next step. When I'm spending time in his words that are true, he will shine the light so that I know with confidence there is ground here, there is solid rock. I won't fall, I will be upheld, I will be directed, and I will be equipped. But the problem is, sometimes we get so focused on what's down the line, we stop looking at our feet and we don't know where to go. Or maybe for some of us, we haven't spent time in that truth that when we look down at our feet, we just see darkness. And we don't know where to go. And he says, my word is a lamp for your feet. You might not know the journey, you might not know the outcome, but you'll know that you can take a next step. And he is always faithful to provide another step for those who complete the last one. But it starts spending time in his presence. But did you know that there's a difference between spending time with Jesus and resting in his presence? That's number two. Because I can spend time reading my Bible, I can spend time in prayer, but that does not mean that I've rested my soul in his presence. Matthew 11, 28 says this, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Man, I know in this broken and in chaotic world that we live in that there's a lot of people in here who feel broken. You feel beaten. You feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. And we've believed the lie that Jesus is not interested in the circumstances that we walk in when his word says, come to me, all who are weary, all who are brokenhearted. And he says, and I will give you rest. Sometimes we run from Jesus with our burdens because we don't want to burden him. And he's saying, no, I want you to throw it at my feet, so that I can remove the weight that the world has placed on you. It continues to say, for the yoke of the world is heavy, but the yoke that I offer is light. I had a professor in Bible college ask me, what does your Sabbath look like? What does your rest look like? I said, I got that on lock. I go home after church, I put my comfy clothes on, sit on my couch, and I watch NFL Sunday Ticket from 8 to 8, 12 hours, nonstop. I was like, that is restful right there. He told me, you're doing a lot to rest your body, but you're not doing a single thing to rest your soul. We invest so much time, energy, money, and effort to make sure that our bodies are healthy and rested and can continue to race. Yet we might have a soul that's been shriveled up, left on the couch, unfed and unslept. And he says, if you would just come to me and rest. I used to think that we needed to rest and God rested in creation because he was tired. But in the original language, the word Shabbat meant that it was an act of completion and satisfaction. So what Jesus is offering here is he says, when you are burdened, when you feel broken, when you feel overwhelmed and unrested, if you come to me, I will remove your heaviness and replace it with lightness, and I will complete what began to break in the world. I will rebuild what was torn down. I will make satisfactory what missed the mark with sin. But when we never rest in the presence, we're running on fumes and we actually begin to miss the direction that he has for our life because our soul is so weary, we can't keep our eyes open. We can't hear anything anymore. When was the last time we let our soul unplug and we simply rested and said, God, I need you to do what only you can do. I need you to fill back up my tank. I need my cup to run over. But some of us don't have anything to offer anymore because we're working on an empty cup. We need to rest in his presence. In Hebrews 4, I'll summarize it for you. Jesus is saying there will be a new Sabbath that will come. There will be a new type of rest. When he returns, there will be an eternal rest that will never end. But he says this. He says, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors just as God did after creating the world. Jesus is going to come and offer an eternal rest that will never be broken. But what can we do on our daily basis to enter into that now? Eternity is not waiting for you to die. It's available for you today. Time with Jesus, resting in his presence. And then we got to start uncovering some lies. There are so many voices shouting in the world today that are louder and more voluminous than maybe ever before in human history. There are voices that are accessible at the click of a button. We listen to influencers and podcasts and this and that and the news and Netflix and this. We have consumption of voices 24/7 in our lives. And we've bought in and believed to false things about who we are, what our identity is, the worth that we have, and the purpose for God's plan on our life. That we've actually dismissed the direction that he offers, because get this, we've plugged in headphones listening to somebody else's voice, so when he begins to talk, the noise cancellation just kicks it out. Because we are subscribing to a voice that is not Jesus's. We're subscribing to the thief rather than the giver of life. And we wonder why we're living, there's a generation right now that has no idea who they are. A world that is so full of brokenness. And Jesus says, I have life, I have hope, and I have abundance. But if you're just listening to the lies, how would you know the truth? How would I know that Jesus offers more if I'm not spending time listening to his word? Because sometimes we're like the sheep, but we actually don't know the voice of the shepherd. So when he calls, I'd rather just sit in the pen waiting for the sheep to come get me because it's comfortable. Because I don't have to walk through the wilderness. I got walls around me. But the lies that we believe are the trap where the enemy wants to feast on our life. Remove the purpose, distract us from the calling. And next thing you know, we are uninfluential Christians in a world that needs us to advance the gospel of Jesus. But if I don't know the truth, I can't share the truth. And sometimes we share the lies rather than embracing the truth because we don't know the voice of the one who calls. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The truth is Jesus came to save. The lies we believe make us feel good about ourselves in the moment, but they distract us from eternity. And we've got to unveil it so that we can experience direction. Remember, it's revealed by truth, but if I'm not experiencing truth, I'll miss the direction. I gotta spend time in his presence. I gotta rest in his presence. I gotta unveil the lies. And I gotta trust his timing. What did Jesus tell Thomas? He said, I'm gonna go prepare a place for you. I'm gonna go make a room for you. I care about you and I want you to be with me forever. So I'm gonna go make a place for you so that you can join me in eternity. And the questions that Thomas brings up are because he didn't trust the timing. Where are you going? When can I find you? One of the best things I can do for my body is to have the nice, healthy, home-cooked meal, but I would rather go to Chick-fil-A because it's quick, it satisfies my needs. I mean, Chick-fil-A, that's holy chicken right there. But it's instant gratification. And sometimes because I can't see where the road is taking me, I believe the lie that he stopped directing me. That's why in John 10, we see this with Thomas. He goes, Jesus lays out the plan. He's given him the step. His truth is illuminating. But he doesn't trust the timing because sometimes we would say, Jesus, sometimes our prayers start to look like, Jesus, I need this now and in this manner. When Jesus is saying, it's a journey. What if you could become more capable because you walked through a season that didn't make sense, but Jesus met you on the other side? But if you just cut it off because you needed something quick, you wouldn't be strong enough for what's down the road. You wouldn't have the capacity to carry what he wanted to give you. Did you know that there is a God who wants to entrust your life? But if I cut that short because I don't have the vision of where he's leading me, I won't be capable of where he's calling me. I've got to trust his timing. And this is the last one for you today. And I think this is the hardest one for me, but I've got to humble myself before God. James 4:7 says this, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. He says, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your heart for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done and let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. I don't know about you, but when I read verses 8 and 9, that does not sound like the year that I want. I don't want a divided loyalty. I don't want sorrow and grief. I don't want sadness instead of laughter. I don't want gloom instead of joy. And I used to think that humility just meant that I had to have a lowly view of who I was. That I'm not God, so I'm not good enough. That humility just meant that I had to be this little meek person. Woe is me. The reality, this is what it means to step out of humility, is that your life was created for position and a posture, that God is your father and you are his child. But what we've done is when the circumstances get crazy and when life demands answers and we don't have them, this is what we've done. God has called us to be the child and the follower. But we step out of line and try to become savior. I need to fix what's happening around me. I need to gather all the pieces. I can't explain it, but there needs to be. I need to fix it. And when I step outside of his power and begin operating on my own, I will find sorrow instead of strength. I will find gloom instead of joy. We unposition ourselves and our heart changes postures because we think that we have to direct the path. I'm taking over the direction. When humility, what does it mean to humble ourselves before God? It's to come back like a child and pick up our Father's hand and say, I'll follow after you. I'll let you lead. Imagine the posture of your heart if we didn't need the answers. Man, I see my 3-year-old nephew and niece. They don't ask questions, they just hold the hand and follow because they know that their dad is good. But when we change that position and posture, we walk out of line of the role that we were created to live in. And we stop experiencing the direction because now we are trying to walk in front of God. And I know this because you heard it in the video. This last fall, I got the phone call. My dad got diagnosed with cancer for the 3rd time in 4 falls. I remember the first phone call. I was confident in who my God was. He will heal this. He will fix this. This will be a testimony, and I can't wait to tell it. And it happened. And then round 2 comes around. It's back. And I remember having more anxiety and more fear and starting to loosen that grip on God's hands, because how could it happen again? Maybe that's you this past year. How could it happen again? How am I in this pit again? How am I dealing with this same stuff again and again and again? And we just start to let go of his hand and think that we've got to be strong enough on our own. And then round 3. Doesn't make sense, but it's back. And you let go. I got to find a way to be strong. I got to find a way to be there for him. I got to find a way to find answers. And I felt like that boy who was driving through the tornado. I couldn't see 2 inches in front of me. I felt like I was trying so hard, but going nowhere. Like I had no direction and was desperate for the radio to just turn back on and tell me which way to turn. But I had stepped out of the position and the posture of allowing my God to lead me, because he wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want to force you to walk down a road you don't want to go. And that's why he says this. He says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden I become a superhero, that I did something so great. It was just the recognition, God, I can't, but you can. God, I can't see where to walk, but you'll take me. God, I might not know if he's gonna be healed. God, I might not know how the story's gonna end. God, I might be overwhelmed. There might be no way. The doctors might have said it doesn't make sense. But what did you tell me in John chapter 14? That you would become a way for the world when there was none. That you would offer truth when there was lies everywhere. And that you would provide a life to those who were lifeless. But we tune the voice out when we step out of that position. Man, imagine the direction that could be revealed if we said, this year, I'm gonna create more space for Jesus than I ever have before. I'm gonna say yes to him first, not last. I'm gonna experience rest. Maybe you've never experienced rest in your life. Jesus, I want to rest with you. I'm gonna intentionally dig until I find the lie that I've let take root in my heart that is distracting me from where you're leading me. I will trust your timing even when it doesn't make sense and even when it feels like you've stopped, I know that you are still moving. And I will reposition my heart as a child because I know that you will lift me up in honor, not because I deserve it, but because it's who you are. He deserves the honor. He deserves the praise. But he's invited you to enter into it. Direction is revealed by truth. You can't create it. But the closer you are to him, the clearer it gets. And so there's two choices you can make today. Maybe you're sitting in here today, maybe you're new to this whole church thing. Or maybe you've been running from Jesus year after year after year, but you're hearing about a God who wants to be a light for your path. You're hearing about a God who wants to meet you and hear your concerns and remind you of who he is anyways. Can I encourage you that today could be this, the first day of the year. It's the best day you could possibly change your eternity by saying, Jesus, I want you to not just direct my path, I want you to direct my eternity. I wanna give you my life. You say that you're the way, if you say that you're the truth and you're the life, I need direction, I need truth, and I need eternal life. You can make that decision today saying, Jesus, I surrender to you. I repent. Repentance is a changing of direction. I repent of where I've walked unknowingly or knowingly, and I will follow you. That's the greatest decision you could ever make. And number two, what would happen this year if maybe you only picked one of these five things, but you said, this year, I'm gonna dedicate my life to trusting his timing. I'm gonna dedicate my life to time with Jesus. I'm gonna dedicate my life. What if this year you understood, man, I'm gonna use the right tool to reveal the direction in my life because there is a creator who is so desperate for you to see the beauty that he has made. If we would just run to his presence and say, I surrender. Because there is a God who knows what you walked through. He sees the circumstances. I was reminded of this illustration. I want to close with this. Have you ever been driving in your car and you have one of those air freshener trees hanging? I was driving and the air freshener all of a sudden looked bigger than the guy who was standing at the corner of the street. Was it bigger? No, it just got closer. And there's some of us who have let our circumstances and our issues get closer to our eyes than Jesus, so we've been convinced that he's smaller than the problem we're walking in. And he's saying, if you would fix your perception of who I am in the midst of what you're walking through, you'll be reminded of the truth of who I am, the truth that I offer you, and the truth that sets people free. Would you pray with me this morning? Jesus, we are so grateful that you introduced yourself to the world to become truth, to become the way when we had none, Jesus. We're so grateful that you gave us your word to remind us of who you are day after day, and we're grateful for the truth that has the power to set people free. God, I pray that direction would be a year, I pray that 2023 would be a year marked with direction unlike any before because we understood that your truth is what reveals it. That we would be able to guide lost people to your feet because your truth has revealed it. God, that we would be able to walk with confidence because your word is a lamp to my feet. And God, that we would fix a perspective that you are the biggest and the greatest and that we would keep you the closest. Jesus, we love you. And we are grateful that you came to do what we never could. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you made that decision this morning to give your life to Jesus, we want to celebrate with you. We've got prayer leaders down on the sides. I would love to meet with you and pray with you. Or if you just need prayer, you can head down there as well. But Shepherd Church, thank you so much for having me, and Happy New Year.